cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Obviously, David is uttering these words when he is in a crisis situation. The heart overwhelmed has the idea that maybe we don't know what to pray for or how specifically to pray. And so he says to the Lord, he says that he will hear his cry when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, a place of safety and security. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. And the verse that I want to point to you again is this, where David says in verse number 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Whenever we face a crisis in life, prayer should be our first resort. And I think for most of us, when the crisis is serious enough, prayer is our first resort, and that is natural. However, in some crisis situations, it is difficult to know how to pray. Now, when an individual goes through a health crisis, we are invited in the book of James to pray for one for another and to pray, quote, that ye may be healed. So we're specifically invited to pray about a health crisis. And yet sometimes in a very deep health crisis, it's difficult to know how to pray. Sometimes, though, our crisis is not a health crisis. Sometimes it's something maybe having to do with other people. Has anyone in here ever, and just raise your hand, but I'm not going to ask for details. Has anyone in here ever had a situation where you were praying about a matter that was out of your control because it was dealing with other people? Anyone like that at all? Look at just about every hand in the building has gone up. People have a way of creating crisis sometimes, and in situations like that, it can be very difficult to know how to pray. Now, I do love this. In Romans 8:26, the Bible teaches this, that when we don't know how we ought to pray, the Holy Spirit takes up for us. Romans 8:26 says this, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And there are times when we don't know what to pray for as we ought. Now, follow me. There are times when we think we know what we should pray for, and we're praying amiss, and I think in those times the Holy Spirit overrides that prayer, if everyone can understand. So I think the verse goes both ways there. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God makes sure that our prayers are acceptable before God, but we as human beings desire to pray prayers that God will hear, and sometimes we don't know exactly what to pray. How many remember the old evangelist, Dr. John R. Rice? Anyone remember Dr. Rice? Okay, John R. Rice is one of my heroes of the Christian faith. In fact, I learned my first theology from John R. Rice and studied his books as a young person. He wrote probably the classic book on prayer. It's still available from Sword of the Lord Publishers, John R. Rice's book, Prayer, Asking, and Receiving. How many have read the book? Anyone? Okay, a few hands. Excellent, excellent book. And Dr. Rice, one of the points he gives in that book was this, that we're to be very specific with our prayer. In other words, ask God for things in such a specific way that you know when the prayer has been answered, because the prayer, the specific prayer, is answered specifically. And I think that's an excellent idea. But then the question arises, how do we know sometimes for what we should pray? There are some things, and here's what I want to key in. No matter the circumstances you're in, there are some things that are always appropriate to pray for, some things for which I should always be praying. Now, let me pause for a moment and explain something. When you're dealing with a situation that involves a person, let's say a wayward son or daughter or someone with whom you're having a problem, there are certain ways that you can pray. By the way, it's probably not the greatest idea to pray for their death. It's probably not a great idea. Now, if they are the enemy of God, you can pray for their death. The imprecatory prayers in the Psalms are very clear on that. If they are the enemy of God and the gospel, then you can pray judgment upon them. I remember when I was a student at Bob Jones University, I think there was some... how many remember the name Alexander Haig? Do you remember that name? He was political, and he had done something that offended Dr. Bob Jones Jr. And I think it was he barred Dr. Ian Paisley from coming to the United States. Paisley was that Northern Irish firebrand. And remember all the political upheaval they had in Northern Ireland. And I think Alexander Haig had barred Paisley from coming to the United States. And so I remember one chapel time, old Dr. Bob Jones Jr., who could get a little bit of an attitude about him if you ever heard him preach. Old Dr. Bob Jones Jr. got up, and of course it was broadcast on the radio, and he prayed that God would smite Alexander Haig hip and thigh, kind of like using some kind of Old Testament expression. What was funny is the man got very, very ill 2 days later, and so Dr. Bob Jones Jr. claimed vindication. If someone is an enemy of God and the gospel, you can certainly pray against them. That is legitimate. But in a crisis situation that involves people, normally that's not an appropriate thing. So here's a point that I want to make. God does not force a person's will. Really important what I'm saying right now. God does not force a person's will. When an individual has set his will in a particular direction, now God may influence. God may intervene with a detour. God may certainly, in the life of a Christian, God may chasten that Christian in regard to a sin issue. All of those things are true. But God does not violate the human will. So sometimes we pray that God would just transform an individual instantly, and that does not happen. Now, does God, the Holy Spirit, work on that person? Absolutely, he does. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit has come to convince or convict the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Can God bring circumstances into the life of a person to wake them up? Can he do that? He can. He can. I've seen that a time or two as a pastor of over 32 years. God can do that. But God does not override the will of an individual. So sometimes we pray amiss when we expect God to automatically override the will of someone. Even in regard to matters of spiritual warfare, for example, demonic possession. Someone said, Pastor Mahdi, what about casting demons out of an individual? I've had several experiences with that, and I'm not going to go into detail about that. But here is something you need to know. If an individual is demonized or demon-possessed, you cannot be successful in removing that demon unless the human part of that person wants it to happen. How many knew that? Did you know that? They have to want to. So I had a couple years ago an instance where I was dealing with someone that was clearly possessed. There were several people who were eyewitnesses in the very room where this was happening, but the person did not want anything to do with being delivered from that possession. Didn't want anything to do with that. So in essence there, their will was to keep that presence in their life and in their, unfortunately, very destructive presence in their life. And so an individual, God does not override an individual's will, but God does do things to influence. So what are some things that, and by the way, I know what I just said made all of you incredibly curious. You just looked at me and said, Preacher, will you tell the story? No. You have to come on the Teen Boys Out West trip and sit around the campfire late at night, where then I tell all the stories. I've had parents get really upset with me over that because they say their kids don't sleep for weeks after that. But, you know, I say a good scare is good for everybody. So I want you to sleep tonight, so we won't tell that story. But what are some things that we should pray for in a time of crisis? These are things for which we can definitely pray when we go through difficult time. Let me give you number one. Number one, pray this, that God will work in hearts. Now remember I said a moment ago, he's not necessarily going to transform their will against their will. But we can pray that God will influence someone, that God will work in such a way as to send a message to an individual. And it is amazing how God does that. I remember one time I was on the verge of a decision. I was going to make a decision about something, and I was contemplating something. And in the background, there was a television, and there was an old black and white movie. I don't know the name of the movie. I have no clue what it was. It was just playing in the background. And all of a sudden in the movie, it must have been a church scene, a church setting. All of a sudden, the pastor behind the pulpit, and I wasn't even looking at the TV. My back was to it, but the pastor behind the pulpit quoted in a very loud voice a very clear verse of Scripture. He quoted these words, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And then the show went on. But I turned around and I said, what? And I felt like at that moment I had my answer from God. Okay, now that's influence. Okay, God can bring circumstances to bear to influence an individual. I mentioned a moment ago chastisement for those of us who are Christians. The Bible teaches that every child of God experiences circumstances that are chastisement. Now, by the way, I don't judge an individual. If something bad happens to someone, I don't say, aha, that's chastisement because Betty Sue missed prayer meeting last week. I don't do things like that. I don't do that. But if you are being chastened of the Lord, you are the one who knows that. Okay, God makes that clear in your heart. So God works in hearts. God will keep our heart and attitude right. That we're going to pray this. We're going to pray that God will work in our hearts and that God will keep our heart and attitude right. Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about the transformed mind. So if I am willing to have my mind geared in the way the Lord wants me to have that, then God will do that. So number one, I pray that God will work in hearts. Number two, I pray for wisdom. I pray for wisdom. How important in any crisis that you ask God for divine wisdom. James 1 and verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God will not rebuke you for asking for wisdom. One of the best things you can possibly do is say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Direct me in what to do. What does that direction look like? I quoted this verse the other service or two ago, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Here's what it looks like. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Acknowledging God, trusting him, not trusting everything that is up here, but trusting in God. And so when I don't know what to pray for, Pastor Monty, you know, I want to be very specific about a specific thing, but I'm not sure what to ask God about, okay? Ask God for wisdom. Any person in this room who is involved in a crisis situation understands that you may be called upon to give your opinion or you may felt led to help the situation. And when that happens, you have to ask the Lord for wisdom. Many, many times I've been involved in counseling where I had an inkling about what the issue was and maybe I would be driving up to the church and I'd be praying about it. I'd say, Lord, please give me wisdom. Sometimes I had no idea what the matter was even going to be. Lord, please give me wisdom. And I will tell you something, time and time and time again, as I'm listening to the problem, verses are coming back into my mind. By the way, verses that I haven't looked at in months, maybe years. You say, Pastor Monty, what is that? That's the Holy Spirit bringing the word back into remembrance. So, in a crisis, I should pray that God will work in hearts. I should also pray for wisdom. By the way, specifically in regard to wisdom, pray for what to say and do. Pray for what to say and do. Now here's the better part of wisdom. Pray for what not to say and do. God, guard my mouth. Okay, that's a prayer that I need to pray more often. There is a preacher's prayer. Have you ever heard the preacher's prayer? Anyone ever heard this? Here's the preacher's prayer. Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me hard when I've said enough. That's the preacher's prayer. But it is appropriate to pray, Lord, tell me what to say, tell me what to do, but also, Lord, tell me what not to do. Help me to restrain myself. That still small voice of the Spirit of God. Have you ever had this happen to you? You were about to say something, and all of a sudden, something inside said, don't say that. Anyone ever had that happen? Happens to me almost every day. that's the Holy Spirit of God telling us to be in restraint. And so we want to pray for wisdom. We pray that God will work in hearts. We pray for wisdom. And let me give you another one. We also need to pray for strength. Pray for strength. Personally, pray for strength. Psalm 119, verse 28. The Bible says, my soul melteth for heaviness. That certainly is speaking of a crisis. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. The psalmist prayed for strength. Now, strength in what areas? If you're going through a crisis, certainly strength in the mental area is essential. Man is a three-part being, a body, a soul, and a spirit. the soul of man has to do with his mind, will, and emotions. So when we talk about the mental, we're speaking of the soul. Lord, give me strength of mind. Give me clarity. Give me strength of emotion. Emotion is seated in the soul part of man. So we're going to pray for strength for the soul, the mental part. We're going to pray for spiritual strength. You say, Pastor Monty, what is spiritual strength? That we will be renewed in our spirit to deal with the aspect of the crisis that is connected to spiritual warfare. Do you know what the Apostle Paul said? The Apostle Paul said this, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against angels, against powers, against principalities, the rulers of darkness." We wrestle against something spiritual. In a crisis where chaos has taken over, I want you to know something. There is always a dark side. And when I mean dark side, I'm talking about the supernatural dark side. Whenever chaos reigns in the lives of people or the lives of an individual, somehow Satan has gained a foothold in that situation. And in that sense, I need to pray for spiritual strength, that I will be renewed spiritually, that I will be close to the Lord, that I will know His presence. So I'm going to pray for mental strength, I'm going to pray for spiritual strength, and I'm also going to pray for physical strength. We sometimes neglect this. Some say, Pastor Monty, you know, if I throw myself at it 110% and just go until I can go no more, I'll solve the problem. No, you might collapse right on the floor. And there is a point in time where we say, God, give us physical strength. And there again, the Lord is amazing. We have stories in the Old Testament of God giving amazing physical strength. So we're going to pray to God in a crisis. Number one, that God will work in hearts. Number two, for wisdom, what to do, what to say, and what to not do, and what to not say. We're going to pray for strength. Then we're going to pray for something very precious. We are going to pray for grace. We are going to pray for grace. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Now that's speaking of prayer. To come before the throne of grace is to come before the throne room of God. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find, now listen to these words, grace to help in time of need. One of the reasons I come before God in prayer is so that I can find His grace to help in time of need. Well, you say, Pastor, what is His grace? His grace is an ability beyond mine. His grace is an encouragement beyond mine. His grace is a strength beyond mine. It is when we experience the grace of God, we don't deserve it, but when we experience the grace of God, that grace of God sweeps in to help in time of need. What is the time of need? It's the very crisis about which we're speaking, whatever that is in your life. And I say, Lord, I need your special grace. Here's one. I need your grace, Lord, to be gracious. Oh, you're Pastor Monty. You're gracious by nature. Maybe. But I'm not always gracious. There have been times when I've really had to pray, Lord, keep me gracious and don't let me go in the flesh. Has anyone ever been tempted to do things in the flesh? Get your hands up, you dirty, rotten liars. We all have. Sometimes I have to say to God, God, I need a special dose of your grace so that I can be gracious, so that I can be a conduit of your grace. And sometimes I'd rather not be gracious, I'd just rather kill people. But it's better. It's someone said, Pastor Monty, are you suicidal? No, I'm homicidal. And some of you will get that later if you think about it. To ask God for his special grace, it is grace that lifts us up. It is grace, listen to this, that helps us take the high road in a difficult situation. That is grace. God gives us grace. Grace lifts us up. Grace helps us take the high road. By the way, grace also helps us get through a situation that is intensely emotionally trying. I remember my first deacon chairman. in North Carolina. His name was Gilf Carpenter. Gilf, G-I-L-F. I love the name Gilf. I've never heard it anywhere before or since. But Gilf Carpenter is my first deacon chairman. And he was telling me about how his first wife had passed away. He was telling the story. And he said his heart was breaking because they'd been married many, many decades. And his first wife had passed away, and they were in the funeral. And he said they were in church, and I can picture it in my mind because it was the first church that I pastored. And he said, preacher, he said, I was sitting right over there. It would have been on my left of the pulpit. He said, I was sitting right over there, and he said, my heart was just breaking. My heart was breaking. And then he said, during the funeral service, he said, all of a sudden, he said, it felt like something lifted up my heart like a net. He described it as a net, like a fish net or something. He said, it's like something lifted up my heart. And he said, I was able to look and know that I would see my wife again. And on her tombstone in the back of that little church cemetery at that church, it was her grave, and on the tombstone were the words, I'll see you after a while. And he said, that preacher to me was the greatest demonstration of the grace of God that I've ever experienced in my life. That is grace. You can pray for grace. The whole purpose of coming into the throne room of God is to find grace to help in time of need. And then here's another idea. Let me give you another one tonight. You can pray for courage. Pray for courage. Psalm 27, verse 14. This should help us. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? It doesn't just mean to sit down and stare blankly. Waiting on the Lord means I'm praying. I'm engaging in prayer. And what am I praying about? I am praying about personal courage. Folks, every one of us has experienced a time of fear and trepidation, especially during a crisis. We can ask God to give us courage. We can say, God, give me courage to face change. Let me ask you a question. How many in this room like change? Do you like change? I don't. Oh, I don't. I love things to be in a comfortable rut, things to always be the same. I like that. I like to expect that everything will be the same from day to day. But God allows in his providence things, both positive and what we would view as negative. Now, remember Sunday morning's message or Sunday night's message. They're not always negative. But God allows things in our lives. We classify them positive or negative. God allows those things, and sometimes those things change our lives. In that moment, I say, God, give me the courage to face and accept the change. Give me that courage, God. Now, you say, preacher, what if I'm going through a very, very difficult time? And I don't know exactly what to ask God for. I've given you five things that the Bible says you can ask him for, and that is legitimate. And here's the great thing. If you ask for those five things, and God in his graciousness grants them to you, there is no crisis in the world that you cannot see it through. And God is good to us. He will answer those prayers. Yes, pray specifically. Pray maybe about some detail. Pray specifically about that. But sometimes you don't even know what to say. These are the things that you can say to God and ask him for. Father, we love you and thank you that your word invites us to find grace at the throne of grace. Father, thank you that your word invites us to have these aspects, to pray for these aspects that are fortifying and strengthening. And now, Father, I pray for anyone going through a difficult time in this room that you would help us, Lord. Maybe we don't know what to pray for, even the outcome for which we should pray. Help us, Lord, to pray for these things, knowing that your Spirit will guide and that your will be accomplished as we yield to thee. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.